Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
Yes, my children, it is time for another episode, episode number 11 of the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. My name is Big Bad Boris, and I am joined on the interwebs, on the internets, if you will, by the lovely and talented Zoe Sager. Zoe, how the hell are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
You sounded kind of southern there. I am. I do declare. Are you from the south?
No.
No,
you're not.
Ontario. Oh, boy. I didn't know that. Thank you for being here and taking the time out of your schedule to do this. I know that you do a lot of training and working out and stuff, so your Tuesday night is your only night, so I appreciate this.
Yeah, no worries.
Now,
it's just something to do.
Now, I see you're just something to do. So much like Taryn, we've known each other for a couple of years. We've seen each other a little bit at the gym and at shows and stuff. But you're another person that I really don't know anything about.
Right.
And that's what makes this kind of fun, is I can get a chance to learn about you and where your love of professional wrestling comes from. So start off with where the wrestling thing started for you.
See, I don't know where it like exactly started, because like I kind of watched wrestling growing up. Like my dad and like his family were fans, sort of thing. And so I always knew that wrestling was a thing. And I would watch it like here and there, and I started kind of getting into it when I was around like, I want to say 11 or 12. And then we moved to a place that didn't get the channel anymore.
Oh.
And so I kind of just like stopped watching wrestling for a couple years there. And then when my family moved to Edmonton, we got cable again. And so like started watching it again, and like, everything had changed in those like couple of years that I had like stopped watching and whatever, and like just never went back and tried to like pay attention to it while I wasn't watching it. And then it was back, and I'm like, oh, this is different from how I left it. Like, and just fell in love with it from there.
Because you're fairly young. I know it's not polite to ask a lady her age, but you're fairly young, correct? I mean, compared to me, especially.
Yes.
So when was the moment where you were like, I want to do this, and the moment where you're like, I can do this?
So like it kind of like built. There wasn't like a definitive moment that I'm like, oh, I want to do this until later. But it was like the first like spark of idea was watching Takeover Brooklyn 2. It was like Bailey and Asuka. Mm-hmm. Watching that match, I'm like, oh, these girls can go. Like, maybe this is a viable option. So I started like that day, like I'm like, I wonder if this is like a thing that you can actually do. And so like I think that day I like looked up schools even. It was like, but all I could find were like what states are in Ontario. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, well, like those are a little far away. Like I was going into my senior year of high school at that point. So I'm like, I'll wait. I'll see like how school's going. Cause at that time I was intending on going to university. Didn't end up happening.
Yeah, what's university got anyway?
Yeah. Who needs schooling?
Right.
Who needs education?
Yeah, forget it.
It's not important. And then, so like I went on to my senior year and was like watching wrestling, like religiously, like watched all like WWE, watched every single thing that I could and just like ate it up. And then I got to a point, I want to say like Christmas break even, where I'm just like, you know what, right now school isn't for me. Like I don't want to continue with my schooling, like take a break. And at the time I was like amateur wrestling in high school. I'm like, I think I'm going to do it. And so I told myself, I'm like, okay, I'll wait till the end of exams, wait till the end of the semester, finish all my exams, whatever. And then I'll apply. And then came exams, and the first exam did not go well. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I sent in my application like as soon as I got home from my exam. And I'm like, let's hope, sent in my application to Lance's because they found Lance's. And I'm like, you know what? If I get in, I get in. Yes. If I get in, I get in. If not, then cool. Then I'll figure something else out. But then got an email like a week or so later, and like, I'm in, and like, cool, we're going to do it. So I'm going to back out now.
I'm going to go down a quick little side by her. You said you were an amateur wrestling in school. Were you any good?
No.
No?
I think in my first tournament, I got bronze out of 3 girls, and I never got any better than that.
You got bronze out of 3?
I was never very good. I only did it for my grade 11 and 12 year.
Did you enjoy it though?
I really did. It was lots of fun.
So
I was never any good.
I think the stars kind of aligned for you in terms of the way the wrestling business was looking at women, because when you, like you were saying, you were watching that Takeover Brooklyn show, and you were kind of coming in right mm-hmm. when the focus was put on the athleticism and the talent and the fact that the girls can go and they're not just mm-hmm. eye candy and valets and pudding matches and stuff like that. So it was kind of a perfect timing for someone like you.
Yeah. Like when I don't know if it was like the last thing that I saw, cause I can't quite remember like the years on it, but the last thing that I like seriously remember about like the women's division before I stopped watching wrestling was like that Piggy James storyline, and like that horrible. Like horrible,
yeah,
absolutely awesome. Horrible, and like it just kind of like stuck with me, and then watching that match, I'm like, oh, this ain't it. This yeah. is totally different. This is definitely way more like my style of what's going on.
So walking into the Storm Wrestling Academy, what were kind of your first initial thoughts? Were you nervous? Were you scared? Were you excited? All of the above?
I was terrified. I like,
I can imagine.
Had no idea what I was walking into. Cause like, I hadn't even gone to like an indie show before I started training. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Like I had gone to one live event just because I moved around so often. Growing up that like I always like missed it whenever it was there, or like my dad would go with my uncles and I wouldn't get invited, so like I'd never been to like a show. I'd been to like two WWE live events.
Oh, house shows. Point. Okay. Yeah
and that was it for my like wrestling experience. And so I'm like, I have no idea what I'm walking into. I don't know what to expect. I had watched watched a bunch of like Tough Enough episodes walking okay. in, and watched the entire like Breaking Ground series that they did.
I forgot about that. That was a good show.
Just trying to prepare myself for like anything. mm-hmm. And yeah, I was just scared, just ready to like learn as much as I could. Pretty much.
Who else was in your class?
People that you would know, formerly known as Spaceman. I'm bad at pronouncing.
Oh, we're going to talk about him a little later because I screwed up and he's mad at me now.
Yes. And Kylie Morgan.
Okay.
As well as Tyson Hiller, who wrestles for RCW. He was in that class.
So was there something in your training when you were, this is a question that I've always wanted to ask everybody, but I always forget. Was there something in your training when you started kind of getting in and getting your hands dirty? And it was like, well, that's not what I thought this was going to be like. Just from watching on TV and being a fan to getting in there and learning how to do it, where you're like, oh, that's totally different than I thought that was going to be.
I have such a bad memory. It was 3 years ago. So it's hard to say. Say drop kicks.
Okay, how so?
I don't know, they just like they look so easy when people who are really good at it do it. Like, they just look like crazy easy, and I have no hops.
You've got no hops.
I have zero hops.
You're also, and I mean no disrespect, but you're rather diminutive. You are
doesn't help. Yes, but
you're what Michael Richard Blaze and I call a tiny human.
Yes, I am a tiny human.
He went to do some extra work, and he was texting me one time from the locker room, and he mentioned a wrestler, and I'm not going to say who it is just because, but he's like, so and so is a tiny human, and that always kind of stuck with me. I also thought that was a funny phrase. Has that been a detriment or an advantage, or does it depend on the situation?
I don't know if it's either, honestly. I think there are some things that I'm a little more, like, going into cautious about being on the shorter side. I'll myself put it nicely for myself. But then, like in training, I'll be like, oh, I don't know if I can do this because, like, I'm short. And then MRB will be like, it doesn't matter. And it'll be like, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, he's just...
Then I'll do it, and it'll be fine.
He makes that much. Voice, yeah.
Yes.
So what we're going to do... Sorry, I've cut you off there.
No worries.
Let's go to your first song. Now, for backstory, for anybody who's never listened before, I have my guests, my friends, pick a couple of songs, because this is a music and wrestling podcast. And you picked a couple of interesting songs.
Yes.
Let me just pull it up here, because I already forget the names of the songs. But the first song was The Struts. And I saw the name of the band, and I saw the name of the song, and I was like, oh, I've never heard this before. And then when I pulled it, I was like, oh, this is that song. I think everyone's kind of heard this song before. It's a real get up and go, kind of get you fired up kind of song. What's the song? Why did you pick it?
So it's Could Have Been Me by The Struts. And I chose it. It came up on my, like, Discover Weekly a bit ago. Don't know when. And just kind of, like, it kind of encompasses kind of my mindset at the moment with everything. Just there's the one line, the, like, main line in the song is like, don't want to look back and, like, say it could have been me. And so, like, gotta go for it, gotta, like, as hard as I can. So, like,
and that's a good way to get fired up and get ready to go, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
All right, so this is The Struts, Could Have Been Me, on the Punk and Proud Drivers podcast.
Don't want to live as an untold story. Rather go out in a blaze of glory. I can't hear you. I don't fear you. I'll live now because the bad die last. Dodging bullets with your broken past. I can't hear you.
is the Struts, song pick number one from Zoe Sager on the Punk and Podivers podcast on the Backbreaker Media Network. How long did you train before the first match?
3 months.
Really? That's quick.
It was really quick. That's all like Lance's school is. It's only
true.
A 12-week program. And then like he has like a like an assessment thing at the end, and just he's like, you know what, you're ready to go out there, and verbatim he's like, you have these things to work on, but like ready. And so like cool. And then message Kurt and put me on the show, and been on every show since. Thank goodness.
Now, were you more nervous walking into that first match or walking into the first day of training?
First day of training.
Okay, interesting.
Because first day of training, I was like going in blind. I had no idea what I was going into. But we had helped. But going into the first show, we'd helped out at a couple of PWA shows prior to then. And so, like, I kind of knew more so what I was getting into. So, shockingly, like I was nervous walking in and then kind of got into the groove of things. And then I wasn't worried about my match because I had to cut a promo, which I didn't know about until I got there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And public speaking is not my forte. Says the professional wrestler, but
it will be.
It will be at one point, maybe, hopefully.
Who was the first match against?
Kat Von Hees.
Now, I probably called that match, right? What year was it? I don't remember.
It was the first show in August 2018.
Oh, so I definitely called that match.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope I did a good job. I assume you did not go. Did you go over?
No.
No. I was gonna say no.
No.
Definitely not. Do you have any memories from it? How do you think it went? The fans took to you, if I remember correctly, the fans took to you right away. And I think that's part of being a baby face. And again, you, respectfully, of course, being kind of a smaller person, you really, you know, people kind of get behind underdogs. And I think you definitely have that going for you.
Yeah. What I remember is, after the match, like I'm laying there, whatever, and then like Kat like picks me up and throws me out of the ring, and the only thing legitimately that I actually remember is being like, oh, thank god taught me how to get thrown out of the ring. That was like one of the last things he taught us.
Okay.
Like I would have died because she just like chucked me.
Like, was that not a planned thing that was discussed? It was just one of those things that happened.
Like it's one of the things that you should get taught how to do,
because that's something that can go horribly wrong. I've seen a lot of guys get thrown out of the ring and feet get caught on ropes or whatever, and you come down on shoulders or heads.
I don't know, like the posting on the apron thing, like I don't know what would have happened, but that's my only actual vivid memory of being like, oh, I'm glad Lance taught me this, because it's one of the last things that we learned.
Awesome.
Sort of things.
When did MRB kind of take you under his wing and you kind of begin doing some extra training with him?
It's an interesting thing. So part of the reason why I initially chose to go to PWA over other companies.
Great commentator, right?
Absolutely. That was like the thing.
I have to make everything about me. I'm sorry.
Well, it's your podcast. Of course it has to be about you. Yeah,
that's true. This is my forum.
Barat or... I'm going to call him Spaceman because I don't want to mispronounce his name and offend him.
It's Berat Gorani.
There we go.
But you have to say it like that.
Yes. He like knew MRB before training because he had done like a couple of four shows or whatever prior. And so he was texting him and he's like, and showed us like, oh, MRB wants to help you and Kylie Morgan like progress and like help you guys get better. I'm like, okay, this guy knows absolutely no idea who I am, but he wants to help. So you know what? I'll go over there and like track record speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah. If there's somebody, especially somebody with that kind of experience that's willing to lend you a hand, you definitely take it, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And then, so that's why I went to PWA and then too scared to talk to him because
It's funny because he and I have talked about that a few times because, and he didn't get it for the longest time. He's like, I don't know, I'm just like a dude. But I tried to explain to him one time, because like sometimes when we bring in like name guys, some of us are intimidated to talk to the names or just want to make sure we carry ourselves properly when talking with especially like the really legend guys. And I tried to explain one day, I'm like, that's what a lot of the younger guys think you are. So they think you're a name. So that's why they're like that. And he's kind of like, okay, I guess I kind of get that.
And like, to be fair, like I barely spoke in the locker room for the first year.
Now like, you won't shut up.
I know, like just can't. And people are like, go back, please. Just
go back to Ontario.
I've been wrestled in Ontario. I've been lived there since I was 5. I'm just from there.
Fair enough.
But so barely spoke to him, whatever. And then we did like a couple of like RCW out of town shows and then like started talking to him there. And then that's where I started getting thrown into those random matches sort of things. And I'm like, he helped me a lot there and started teaching me like a lot, like before shows and like in the matches sort of thing. And like after the matches, and I got more comfortable like asking questions and whatever. And then Force became a thing, the Force building. Mm-hmm. And so started training there and just, wealth of knowledge just kind of like thrown at me and just like trying to absorb as much as possible.
Just try to kind of soak it all in because it comes fast for sure.
It comes super, super fast and just trying to like learn as much as I could. And then just asking as many questions as I could, trying to like figure out all these things and just get as good as I possibly can sort of thing. And just like,
and what's great with him is it's not only the actual like the craft of wrestling, but it's also the gym and the working out and the diet and all those kinds of things. It's like a real
100%
package. Like I know I always think that, you know, depending on where his career is going to take, and I know we talk about MRB a lot, like this is the fucking MRB podcast, but like I think if, you know, depending where his career goes, I think he could run a very successful school one day and churn out a lot of talent because like he cares, you know, he wants to see everybody do well. And that's kind of where I think Clandestine kind of came from. And that's what I want to talk about, because you had a very high profile match on the first Clandestine show. You got a chance to work Nicole Matthews, fairly fresh off her appearance in the Mae Young Classic. Tell me a bit about working with her and your nerve level of that one.
Oh, it was insane. I like when it first, like her name got brought up a couple times, like before, like it was ever confirmed. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like she's going to get brought in. It's probably going to be like a multi-man match, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cool. And like just not having like any sort of expectations because like one, it wasn't confirmed yet. Like Clandestine was kind of just this idea even at that point. And just like her name was just kind of being thrown around at that time. And I'm like, okay, that would be a cool match, but keeping my expectations down, not expecting anything, whatever. And then Clandestine starts happening, like the vignettes are getting posted, and then it's like, then MRB was like, you're gonna be working Nicole, and I'm like, you're kidding. Like I'm not even a year and a half in. No. And then he's like, no, you're going to be working here. I'm like,
yeah, he don't take no for an answer. It's like, you're fucking doing this because you're doing it.
It's like, I'm like, okay, cool. And then immediately it was like, I got to watch all the Nicole matches I can.
Yeah.
Got to learn like everything she does. Got to have something coming into this match. Like this girl was just in the Mae Young Classic. Like, and so like, trying to like not freak out because it's like trying to be like, it's, she's just another wrestler, but it's like, yeah, but she was just on TV, but she's just another wrestler.
And it was funny.
But she's been wrestling for this long, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Like,
and it was really one of your first really high profile matches. I think it was really cool that, her and Artemis came out for that show. What was she like to work with? What did you learn? Did she give you any advice before or after?
Oh, she was very, very easy to work with. From what I remember, because it was a bit ago and there was a pandemic in between.
Yeah.
but it was super easy to work with. It was like one of my favorite matches to be in. And at that point I had like a couple matches that I was like really proud of. Specifically the like 15 minute draw that like me and Kayla J did. And then the match that I had with Jack Pryde at that point for Force. But this match was like just something different. And I don't know if I can like quite put my finger on what. Maybe it was just like the environment that it was in. Maybe it was wrestling Nicole, but I don't know. It was just like different. In like the best way possible.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole night was really different. Mm-hmm. Now, intergender matches are not so much now, but maybe like a year or so ago were quite the kind of topic of discussion. It's almost kind of necessary here because there isn't, unfortunately, a large number of female talent. Mm-hmm. So you know, we mix in, the companies will mix in the guys and the girls. What are your kind of thoughts on that? Because you've had a lot of really great matches with a lot of talented male wrestlers.
Yeah. I love it. Like, it's in like certain promotions, it's all I do. So like out in Saskatchewan, when I work for a Prairie Pro, it's all I've done there because they don't have another girl. And so, I think that it's like, it's good. It's like, it's almost a, maybe not a necessity because like you can go without it, like you don't have to, but I really enjoy it because especially around here, like the most veteran females that we have, or female that we have, is Kat. Mm-hmm. And she's been wrestling for 8 years, but that's only 8 years, you know. And I don't, if intergendered wasn't a thing, I wouldn't be able to wrestle the people who I probably wouldn't have the opportunity to wrestle the people who have been wrestling for like 10 plus years. Yeah, and sure, get to know their like work, the different ways that they've had to work over the years sort of thing. And plus I get to do like cool stuff with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Like not everyone can base for everything. Like they just like, or like, not that they can't, but they've never learned how to, and there wasn't always a place to train to learn how to base for all the stuff.
Somebody, and I wish I could remember what match it was, and I know it was a PWA show, and I can't remember for the life of me, but somebody threw you in the air, and then you caught him with a DDT, like a tornado DDT. And it was
Michael Allen, Richard Clark.
Was it Clark? Because that was one of the damnedest
things
I ever saw.
It was in that six-man.
Yeah, that was some of the coolest shit I ever seen, because you got some height and you caught that DDT clean as hell.
I wish the camera was on the other side to see my face.
That's
just
my
in
damn
panic.
That's my kid's fault. No, I'm just kidding. He stands in the corner, I tell him to, but I should find that. See, we always have all these visual things on the podcast. I always talk about I should get this and this and this and this. I really should get some sort of video companion, because that spot. And you got height, and that DDT was clean as shit. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It was really cool.
Yes. It's like, it's one of my favorite things to see too. Cause I'm like, I am in the air. I have very little control. I'm hoping that I catch his head. We'll go for it. And it ended up working out perfectly fine.
When we're done here, you'll have to let me know if you remember what show or what year that was, and maybe I can dig it up and we can tweet it or something. Because yes,
it was the six-man tag body break and Gigi Ray versus, or I guess it wasn't a six-man, it ended up being a handicap. It's on the PWA YouTube already.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it was on that last match.
Really?
Before the world ended, yeah.
Oh, I thought this happened a long time ago.
No.
Oh, maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, there's probably another one because
I've had a couple
of matches that I've been in with Clark, but.
Do you approach a match with a guy any different than you would approach a match with a woman? Probably not, hey?
No. Or at
least
I don't.
That's kind of a dumb question, actually, now that I think about it. That's really stupid.
No. Really don't. They're like... No.
No, fair enough.
Not even. Yeah.
So you were sort of the first PWA Women's Champion, kind of.
Yes, sort of, kind of.
Sort of, kind of. There's
sort
actually
of, kind of. Cassie Lee has nothing on me.
Yeah, that's actually a funny story because I remember years ago in Calgary, there was a match between Cassie and Kellyanne, who I believe is under contract to Ring of Honor now, but I've never seen her actually wrestle. I don't know, but she was really cool. And another lady whose name escapes me now. Mm. And it was for the women's title, and they were all talking about it in the back, and I and they were going over the match, and I was like, hey, you guys know there's no belt, right? And they were like, there's no belt. I'm like, no, there's no belt. So that's one of my funny little stories. But so I mean, if you discount the kind of past, you were the first title belt carrying PWA Women's Champion. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a fun little time there. It was really cool because I'd been working for like about a year at that point and like still had zero idea what I was doing, but was like at least thought I was starting to get it. Whether or not I was actually starting to get it, I don't know. And it was just like, oh, cool. Like, we actually have something to fight for now instead of me just wrestling Kat every week, having very similar matches every week. Just because, like, I didn't know anything else of how to put together a match differently. And so, oh, cool, now we have something to fight for. This will be interesting. And they're like, and we're going to put the title on you. And I'm like, okay.
Who did you like, beat? My memory's the shits. Like, I sat next to Taryn in the car and I don't remember it. So don't look to my memory.
How dare you?
Oh, she gives me grief about every time I see her now. She's like,
I'm shocked that you even remember that I work for PWA.
Okay, that's enough out of both of you. Who was in that match?
It was myself, Kylie Morgan, Kat Von Hees, and Alex Wicker.
And you took them all out, hey?
Took them all out.
There you
can't
go.
Remember much about that match other than I did a dive to the outside off the top rope.
I'll tell you what I remember about that match is, if I remember correctly, the title wasn't finished.
No, it was
not. We used an old PWA heavyweight title belt, and it was about half the size of you.
No, I remember, like the size of you. I have a picture of it with...
See, we need to tweet that too now. I don't know if
like
I have that picture.
With Sheik holding it up beside me. And it's like my height. Like,
you need to tweet that picture out then because I don't have it. But I remember that because that was a pretty sizable belt to begin with. But having you hold it, it was a little comical.
Sure, it was ridiculous. And we had like, I think that was the first time Sean Spears came. Yes.
Ah, yes.
United Champions. 2019?
Yes, I believe so.
And I remember like walking up to him like in the hallway after, and I'm like, do you want to switch belts? Like, this one fits you better. He's like, yeah, that's a ridiculously large belt. Yeah, like, yeah. That's just ridiculous.
All right, let's go to your second track. After we come back from that, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the wrestling business these days and what you're watching, if anything. Now, the second band, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Pyrus? Because it's a PV, and how the fuck do you say that?
See, I had to look it up when I sent it to you because I had no idea.
Oh, see, I thought
it's
you
Paris.
Would know. It's what, sorry?
Paris.
Oh, Paris. Well, it's PVRIS, yeah. Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
The track is titled No Mercy. Again, why? Why? Why?
I just like the song. Like, no other reason. It gets me pumped in the gym. Just like
fair
it.
Enough. Okay, well then, fair enough. This is Paris No Mercy on the Punk and Proud of Us podcast. Check it out. With my-
It's such a merciless place. There's blood stains on your face. Watch everybody limp and pray in vain. In her life, I got everybody sleepwalking, but they can't think they're awake. And our hands always covered in shame, but it won't wash away. It's blood in the water, but it tastes so sweet. Show me your mercy.
Mercy on the Punk and Prodigals podcast, the second pick from the lovely and talented Zoe Sager. Now, you said you've listened to the podcast before,
I have.
You know that I believe that wrestlers fall under one of two categories. Either A, you watch a shit ton of wrestling, or B, you watch no wrestling. Which camp are you in?
See, I'm kind of in both. Like, I go float back and forth. So, like, I'll go through phases where I'm like, I'm watching it all the time, and then I'll go like a couple weeks and I won't watch anything, but then I'll like jump back in and just like go and watch everything sort of thing. And so I'm like both camps.
I know that you were talking with MRB about how you kind of discovered some old Japanese women's wrestling, and you're all about that. Tell me a bit about who's your favorites and you're obsessed with somebody, but I can't remember who it was.
Manami Toyota.
That's right. So where did this come from, and what can we expect to see in your repertoire coming soon?
During the pandemic, I started working out with MRB, sort of thing, and he he brought her up once, like, just talking about, like, old stuff that, like, him and BBD would do, and, like, because she does, like, this wild drop kick from the top rope to the floor often, and so was talking about that, and I'm like, you know what, and I think, because at the time I had no idea who she was, and he's like, you don't know who she is? You're a fan of women's wrestling and you don't know who she is? Like, jokingly. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to look her up now. And that's when the obsession started. She's just awesome. She does, like, all these, like, crazy things that you would never imagine for, especially, like, the time period that wrestling was, sort of thing. Because it's primarily, I watch, like, 90s, like, All Japan women's stuff, which is, a lot of it is very similar to the stuff that you'd see, like, on an indie show today, sort of thing. Little bit different, like, psychology behind, like, match and, like, match structure, but, like, it's just so cool. They do these, like, wild things that, like, wild bumps and just moves that are, like, crazy. And, like, that I would have never thought of. Not that I am that creative when it comes to, like, just making up moves, but, like, just beyond, like, wildest imaginations of what's possible, sort of thing. Just, like, yeah.
So what are you watching?
Just love it.
Is there anything current that you're watching right now?
I'll also go through and watch, like, just, like, random, like, indie matches that, like, I find on YouTube or whatever, mostly, like, women's matches, just because I like to see, like, what people are doing, sort of thing, like, what.
Any favorites? Anybody that catches your eye?
I love Roxy. Roxy's just, like, so, so good. It's, like, just, like, I was mind, like, because I had heard about her a lot, and then I'm like, finally, like, one just popped up on my YouTube, sort of thing. I'm like, oh, I see why people are talking about her. Like, I see exactly what it is. And she's just so good.
So what's the end game for you? What do you want to get out of this? Are you looking to move on? Do you have big goals? Do you have small goals that build into big goals? What's the game plan? I know it's a very broad question. It might be hard to answer.
Yeah. I was always, like, very, or used to be very careful about saying, like, my bigger plans. Cause it's like, I never wanted to, like, say it and then, like, it doesn't happen or whatever. And, like, jinx myself about it. But then it's, you know what? Now I'm like, I don't really care. Like, my end game is WWE.
Yeah, like, you can speak shit into existence.
Yeah, like, I gotta speak it into existence. Yeah. I don't need to, like, keep it down. Because, like, before I'd say, like, I'll go anywhere that, like, gives me a contract, sort of thing. But it's like, no, it's WWE, like, hands down. Like, if I get a contract somewhere else, that's great. However, like, that's just the step to getting to my goal of WWE.
I mean, the way the business is right now, I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot of places that are doing TV or very close to TV, and there's a lot of places to go and a lot of opportunities, which is really cool. Okay, rapid fire time. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Ah, see, you're right.
I know. The sweetness of the pineapple with the contrasting saltiness of the ham, it works. Other people are just dumb.
True. Fact. Preach. Favorite color?
Orange.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever met anybody in the world whose favorite color is orange. First concert you ever went to?
Simple Plan.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Because I'm a snob. Best concert you ever went to?
See, all my concerts have been at, like, K-Days and Stampede.
Doesn't matter. I've been to some great shows at the Stampede over the years.
Because it's not very many, I'd have to say Billy Talent.
Which one, sorry?
Billy Talent.
You know what? That's funny you mentioned that, because I'm not really a big Billy Talent guy. I always thought they were, you know, they were okay, but just kind of eh. I saw them when I was working for Bell Media. I was street teaming with the Bear at K-Days a few years ago. Yeah. And I saw them and they blew me away. They were like live. They were fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. They brought a cake from the stage to the back. It was great.
Was that like the day that there was the cake. Big giant rainstorm?
I don't know. I was at Stampede for that one.
Oh, okay. I was at
that was in K-Days. Like while I was training.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Worst concert you ever been to?
I don't know. I'm being too enough to know.
Fair enough. Dream opponent. If you could wish it into existence right now.
Sasha.
Interesting. Okay. Damn. Is there anything else that you want to add or you want to tell the people, the fans, the young children who look up to you? No pressure or anything.
Be a good person. Don't be dumb.
That's don't be dumb. Do you want to give your social medias or any of that kind of good stuff?
Yes. Sorry, give me a second to look this up because I can never remember because they're different. On Instagram, you can find me at Zoe_Sager. That's Zoe_Sager. And then on Twitter at Sagerzoe.
Oh, it's all over the place.
It is all over the place.
Well, I'm hoping that the PWA is able to get the ducks in a row and we can start running shows again.
Hopefully,
I want to know if I remember how to call wrestling matches. It's been a long time. Like I've done.
Clandestine? Does it count as calling wrestling matches?
Not interrupt me and let me finish. I have done the clandestines and had a lot of fun doing those.
Those are super fun.
I'm working on something for next week. Something special for next week. I can't say because it's not officially locked down yet, but it's being negotiated, but I'm
can't
hoping that we
give
can get
me the dirt.
The dirt?
Uh-oh.
All right. I shouldn't do this because I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if it does happen, it's going to be a game changer. That's all I can say. What we're going to go out to, again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your only free night. I know you're very busy between, you've got some bookings going right now, plus with your training and stuff. So I know your time's at a premium, so I appreciate it. We are going to go out right now to a brand new track from Dave Haas. I love Dave Haas. I heard a song by him a few years ago. The song was called Dirty Fucker, and it really caught my eye just because of the name, and then I heard the song, and it really, really good song. So I checked out the album. The album was called Bury Me in Philly. Great, like singer-songwritery kind of thing. I know he's got a bit of a punk background, but very singer-songwritery. And I've been a big fan ever since. He's got a new album coming out in, I want to say September. But the first song has been released. It's called Sandy Sheets, and it's very kind of summery, singery songwritery. I really dig it. So I hope you guys dig it too. Thank you again, Zoe.
Thank you.
Episode number 11. You're welcome back here anytime.
Absolutely. Would love to.
Absolutely. And we will talk to you guys all next week.
Budget was beer by October when we cracked the vanilla. just like heaven on repeat.